In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have the feast of St. Cecilia, this great patroness of the early church. Do you remember a young man by the name of Cameron? He's a good man. We sent him away to go to Rome at this time. He asked me if there was anything I wanted him to do for me as I've tried to hire him out to do good things for me while he's away. And I told him, there's one thing that I would like you to do. If it's at all possible, if you could do what I always did on the 22nd of November. If you could go to Trastevere, the place where the Jews used to live, and you'd go to a particular church there. They have a service on the evening there, Mass, Vespers beforehand, and the church is packed with all the first communicants of that particular locality of Rome. It's a beautiful Mass. Go to the church of Santa Cecilia, the church of St. Cecilia. Go there and pray for us. It's a beautiful place. And it is on that spot where, at the back of the church, is reserved the place where St. Cecilia testified to the faith with her blood. It is there where she suffered the stroke of martyrdom. Who is St. Cecilia? Well, you know the story. I'll give you it in brief very quickly. She was a virgin pledged to Christ since a very young age. She wanted nothing to do with marital vows, for she had already pledged herself to Christ. In fact, she used to sing a song, "Rich and Beautiful Was Her Voice," a marriage hymn ringing within her ears always, as though she were prepared for her wedding day. And she renewed the vow that she had consecrated in virginity to God. She sang, "Pure be my heart, and undefiled my flesh, for I have a spouse you know not of, an angel of my Lord." An angel of my Lord. Do you notice that we use those words during the holy sacrifice of the Mass every time we are present? We pray that prayer as the priest bows down low and asks the Father to send his holy angel from on high, from this altar to on high. Who is he speaking of? The angel of the Lord. It's not his guardian angel, certainly not. Nor is it the guardian angel of this particular church or diocese. Who is the angel? Speaking of Christ himself. Christ is God's angel. Did you know that? Christ is the angel of God. That is to say, our Lord Jesus is the angel of God. Why? What is an angel? It's merely an office, a messenger. Christ is God's messenger. Jesus is the message spoken by the Father, the eternal Logos. That's who her bride is. And so she's saying always within her heart. But her parents wished that she would make good with herself and to be married off well, for she was beautiful and could fetch a good price and a good husband. Her mother was a good Christian, but her father was not. And she protested to her mother, saying, "Mother, you know that I consecrated my virginity to Christ. I am nothing but his." She said, "Yes, but your father says you are to marry this man, so go and be off with you." And so what did this pure virgin do? She obeyed. She went and married. And when her husband was about to take her into the bridal chamber, she confessed something to him which each man should ponder just for a little bit as he takes a wife. Obviously, this should be discussed ahead of time, but it wasn't in this case. She said to Valerian, "My dear husband, I have consecrated my virginity to Christ, and I know this may cost me my life in sharing this with you. But my virginity belongs to God. I am already married to him, for I am a Christian. And if that costs me my life now, let it be demanded of me, for I am only his. And so that you may know what fate beholds you, should you seek to take my virginity away from Christ himself, there is an angel here. He stands 9 feet tall, and he has a flaming sword drawn on high, ready to strike anyone who would steal my virginity away from Christ the Lord." And Valerian, a good man, turned to this bride and said, Woman, what is this? Who is this that you speak of? How could I believe that there is an angel here, one with a flaming sword, and I cannot see him? And back and forth the dialogue went until she said to him, Valerian, he is here, and if you wish to see him, what you must do is you must go to the bishop, to the pope, and receive baptism, and then you will be able to see him. And he humored his bride, knowing that after he took those waters, if there was nothing there, well, then the jig would be up, and he could take his bride. So he went, and he went with the requisite faith, accepting baptism there on the spot. And what happened? His eyes were opened, and he saw that angel there, and he said to his wife, Cecilia, this one is more than 9 feet tall. He's greater and more fearsome than this, and that flaming sword within his hand is ready to cleave my head. Tell him to stop. He looks menacing about me. Back and forth the dialogue goes, if you were to read the annals of this particular passage of the saint. And eventually he gave himself more surely to the faith, and that angel sheathed his flaming sword, confident there that he would be one who would preserve this virgin in her integrity. So full of joy was he that he went to his dear friend, and on the spot also was able to convert him to the faith, the two of which began proclaiming the goodness of God through the streets so boldly that it cost them their own lives and martyrdom. This, leaving Cecilia by herself with a great mass of wealth, knew that they would soon come for her because the wealth was great. She distributed that wealth to the poor who were around, and for this cause the emperor turned to her and said, you wicked woman, that could have gone to good for himself, he thought. And so for this crime, he sought to put her to death first by placing her within a hot sauna that was so hot that not even the men who were within could stand the flames, could stand the heat for even a single minute. But yet the angel around her fanned the fumes away from her such that she came unsinged, unharmed. Seeing that this was the case, they ordered her to go before the executioner who wielded the axe on high, and right there at the doorstep of her own house, sought to cleave her own head. 1, 2, 3 strokes of the axe, and her head still remained intact. The Roman law at the time said that the executioner had 3 strokes with which to cleave the head of the accused. And if those 3 failed, then it could only have been divine intervention. And so the criminal was completely pardoned, and such could never be brought against them again, for it was a divine favor. 3 days Cecilia suffered, and all the while she suffered well, knowing that she herself was the bride of Christ, preserved in that integrity, and continued to sing songs of praise to God while she was before the executioner. She sang the songs while he was there doing things, and she was there for those whole three days singing hymns of praise to God who had allowed her to suffer these things for his glory, that she would soon be going to whom she was espoused, her bride, for he was calling her on high. Of note is, what does the name Cecilia mean? Cecilia is taken as a derivative from the name Caecus, which is Latin for blind one. Blind one. Now this is the divine reversal. Was Cecilia the one who was blind, or is she the one who truly saw? She's the one who truly saw the invisible realities and gave herself to such from such an early age, for she saw them as clearly as could be seen. It was rather all those of the world, those who gave her such a name, who were the blind ones, not she. What opens the eyes of the blind? Holy baptism. Holy baptism opens the eyes of the blind so they can see with eyes of faith, see those eyes which recognize realities that are more real than the things that we touch, to see that the invisible protectors that are around us at every moment, each of you, also are protected by your own guardian angel, be he with one with flaming sword held aloft or not. You are protected. Make use. Call unto him. And when you trust fully in those things which you can see, seeing with the eyes of faith, trusting in what God has shown for you, what good can be done for the conversion of those who are around you? maybe you will be a kaikus. Maybe you will be a Cecilia for those who are the truly the blind ones who are around you by opening their eyes, introducing them to those eternal realities. What else we can find about this Holy Virgin? She's the patroness of music, of those who sing. She heard the angel voices, not because she merely sang with the most angelic of voices. She heard those voices. And so it is through suffering. Through suffering is always made lighter the more we give ourselves to holy song, to holy contemplation. Here within this altar area, within this church, we continually sing the praises of God through which are the divine office. Whenever you are afraid, or whenever it is that you are in terror or in distress, what the church reminds you and I is that song and these songs can be of great comfort to you. Reach out. These hymns which are sung within the church are given to us by angelic voices and continually sung by He who is the angel of God, Christ, who sang these songs. When you go through the Gospels, you see that the Lord Christ, even upon the cross, sang songs of praise to God in these hymns of the church, the Psalms. The people of God have always been comforted in the midst of their trials and difficulties by singing psalms and encouragements to one another. What is it that we read in the epistle of just a few weeks ago? It said to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord, and by this we will achieve the peace which God has called all His chosen ones to embrace. Such songs have great help to those who sing them and put their trust in those words which predate them, which lift the soul ultimately into the hands of God. One song that I often think of is a song I learned as a young child. It's just a rendition of a song. It is a song that often plays as a soundtrack of many Jewish films that speak about pogroms or about the Holocaust or other such attacks against the Jews. Sometimes you hear it. It's the song, "You Are My Hiding Place." You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in You. With these words and others like it, you can raise your soul to God and trust that He who is a great and divine protector over you wishes to lift your souls by these psalms, by these hymns, and by these spiritual songs. And know that when you suffer greatly for the cause of the gospel and for the things of the faith and desiring to do what is good, no matter what depression or doubt creeps within your soul, a holy song can cause that evil spirit, that enemy of your human nature, to take flight. For where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom, and he who seeks to destroy freedom must flee. Ask through the intercession of Saint Cecilia, who heard these voices and responded to sing along with them, trusting that when she remained faithful, no matter what difficulty came into her life, if she lifted her heart to things on high, that she would always be rescued from those who were her help in time of distress. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.